I'd like you, please, to turn with me to three passages in the New Testament. Firstly, in the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke 13, page 1245. Verse 10. And he, that is Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And lo, there was a woman having a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bent together, and wholly unable to lift her head up. And Jesus, seeing her, called to her, and said to her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, answering, said to the crowd, There are 6 days in which people ought to work. In these, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord therefore answered him and said, Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the manger, and leading it away water it? And this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, ought she not to be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And now, in Romans, Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Verse 12, page 1354, Romans 5, verse 12. For this cause, even as by one man sin entered into the world, and by sin death, and thus death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And verse 18. So then, as it was by one offence towards all men to condemnation, so by one righteousness towards all men for justification of life, for in as indeed by the disobedience of the one man the many have been constituted sinners, so also by the obedience of the one the many will be constituted righteous. But the law came in order that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace has overabounded. In order that even as sin has reigned in the power of death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 4, verse 3. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the principles of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, come a woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. Because ye are sons, God has sent out the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So thou art no longer bondman, but son. But if son, heir also through God. I'd like to speak a few words to you in the Gospel tonight about deliverance from bondage. We spoke this afternoon about liberty. And I believe, you know, inasmuch as any one of us has known what it is to be in bondage to sin and Satan, we'll know what it is to be released and in liberty. And I want to speak about the Lord Jesus as the only one who can deliver you from the power of Satan, from bondage, and bring you truly into the liberty of sonship. It's a wonderful thing, this, that here we are living in a world that's populated by men and women and children, most of whom are in bondage to something or other. Either religious bondage or bondage to the world, bondage to all sorts of things. I don't propose to go into them, but merely to show you that men and women and children, far be it from being naturally in liberty, are actually in bondage. Bondage of the will, Luther wrote about. The will is a very strong and devious matter. But I read to you in Luke's Gospel about a woman who'd been held 18 years in bondage. She was doubled up. She couldn't lift her head up. She couldn't live normally. She was held in bondage. And the Lord came along and released her from her bondage. And the ruler of the synagogue was upset because he did it on the Sabbath. That's exactly the effect of legalism on persons' hearts and lives. They think everything of doing the right thing at the right time. The Lord healed this woman who was in desperate need of healing. She couldn't get herself free. Now that's just like you and I. As we are held in bondage by Satan, we cannot free ourselves. You can't free yourself. You can't free yourself from the bondage of sin. You cannot free yourself from the bondage of Satan. You need another to free you. The good news in the gospel is that the Lord Jesus has been to Calvary's cross and has laid the basis in his death and burial and resurrection for your complete deliverance from the power of Satan and to be brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That is the wonderful scope of the gospel message. So this woman was 18 years bound up, couldn't lift her head, possibly for the whole time, may have been coming on gradually, but however, here she was in a state of complete incapacity. So we are, as sinners, in a state of complete incapacity. You and I are born sinners. I wasn't born a Christian. Neither were you. I was born a sinner. I need a saviour, and I cannot save myself. Persons in this world have derived systems of religion whereby they seek to improve the wrong man, and it won't do for God. Might do for men, but it won't do for God. You and I cannot improve ourselves. There's nothing we can do. Scripture shows us this right from the fall of Adam, from Adam's sin until now. Man cannot improve himself. And God doesn't intend to either. What he's done, he's brought in a means of salvation, whereby you may have your sins forgiven and be brought into complete liberty and be given a power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help and sustain you through your life so you may lead a life of service to God. Now, the woman here didn't ask to be healed. Actually, it was a wonderful, the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ that he came and saw her need and rescued her. And my salvation and yours has depended on the wonderful sovereign grace of God that has reached me in all my need. I cannot make myself better. If you think you can, read the epistle to Romans and you will find out pretty quick what your natural capacities are. Well, it's a salutary thing when we realize that we're a sinner. You know, it's a wonderful favor and privilege to be brought up in a Christian home, and perhaps all in this room have been brought up in a Christian home. Great favor and privilege. Of itself, it doesn't save you. You still need the Savior because you are still born a sinner. I read to you in Romans 5 because the question of sin, it's entered into this world by one man. It only took one act of disobedience by one man to plunge the human race into the darkness of sin and to bring man into bondage, the bondage of Satan. And because of sin comes death. That's why people die. That's why we all have to die. Unless the Lord comes for us and takes us to be with himself, the rapture we speak of, takes the church to be with himself, we shall all die. But death is not the end. That's another important thing to grasp. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. God is going to have to say to every person, you see, the idea that death is oblivion or the end of everything means that there is no answering to anybody for your life. Now, that wasn't how God created you. God created us for his pleasure. And sinners come in and spoiled that. But God hasn't been defeated in his thoughts. He's brought about a way of recovery in Christ. But if that way isn't taken, then there remains nothing but judgment. It says, For in, as indeed by the disobedience of the one, that's Adam, the many have been constituted sinners. Constituted. We have a sinful nature. That you don't have to be very old to realize it. Neither does a child have to be very old before you realize they've got a will of their own that doesn't coincide with yours. And there we have the idea of independence. Man wants to be independent of God. That's why he built a city. And he wanted to build a tower that would reach up to heaven to make a name for himself. And God came down and saw what was going on and confounded language. So there is why men and women have different countries, speak different languages and different cultures. All goes back to the old notion and idea, and rightly so, of sin. So here we have the many constituted sinners. You and I are constituted sinners because of Adam's independence. We're born with sinful natures, and it doesn't take very long before that sinful nature comes to light by way of sins and acts of disobedience. Now, there's no gospel message in that, but it's very, very true, and it's important that you realize what you are by nature, and that you are lost and helpless and need a savior. You cannot save yourself. It's very clear in the pages of Scripture that you cannot save yourself. Persons have tried to turn over a new leaf. Luther, the amazing man who was used of God in the Reformation that we speak of, had to realize that the just shall live by his faith, that he wasn't able to make himself better. He went and shut himself away in a monastery, hoping to improve himself, and it didn't work. But God brought him to that point when he had to turn outside of himself and turn to another. My desire in speaking to you tonight is that you come to it, to turn away from yourself and to turn to another, to turn to Jesus. He's your only hope. He's my only hope. He's our only hope. He's mankind's only hope. This country is in a political mess. It's in more turmoil now than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And there's no apparent solution. Man is in a mess, and he gets his country in a mess. He gets his relationships in a mess because he's away from God. And if you're away from God, you're getting a mess too. You've only got to read Luke 15, and you can see the youngest son thought he'd have a jolly good time in the far country and he'd do his own thing. In other words, he'd have an independent time, independent of his father, and it all went wrong. God may allow you to do things, to do certain things and have a good time and enjoy yourself in sin, but it won't last. And you come to a point when you can do nothing more for yourself. Well, it's a great time when that happens in your life. When we realize that we're lost and helpless and need a savior. And God brought in the law, and it just made sin more apparent and obvious and more definite, if you like. Because the more the law said don't do this, the more men did it. So the law actually doesn't deliver you from bondage. It merely highlights the bondage you're in. And it highlights the inability of the flesh, the first order of man, the old Adam, to please God. You cannot please God according to the flesh. I can't, you can't, I've never been able to, neither will you. And it's not God's way of blessing. God is out to bless. He's out to bless you, and he wants to, and the only way he can do it and will do it is in Christ. No other. Not a system of religion, a system of rules. That is merely human bondage. God has blessed us in Christ because he's dealt with the sin question. Whole matter of good and evil was dealt in those 3 hours of darkness on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross, who he who knew not sin, for our sakes was made sin. Think of that, the enormity of our sinful state, our nature, and the whole matter of sin being put upon the Lord Jesus. This is what we call substitution. He took my place. I couldn't do it. Neither could you, because I'm a sinner. But the Lord, who was sin apart, was able to take my sins upon himself and resolve them to the pleasure and glory of God. He was able to do that. And he's done it once and for all. Gospel message is very simple. The work has been done. The work of atonement has been done. Peace has been made. It's for you and me to come into it. And we come into it on the ground of repentance. Wonderful, isn't it? That God would have us to be in his presence as sons, and it's through the work of his beloved son, and we've been given to be able to repent of our sins. Have you come to it? You're a sinner? That's great. Have you repented of those sins? Have you told God how you feel about them? How you see it from his point of view? And how evil your flesh is? He knows all this, but he wants to hear you say it. And hear you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Because that's how we come into blessing. The law came in order that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace has overabounded, in order that even as sin has reigned in the power of death, that's why people die, so also grace might reign through righteousness. Think of that. We're living in a day of grace. We speak about the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. It's something, it's a message from heaven which we do not deserve, but which God is coming, bringing to us so that we might have eternal life. You see, man's life is limited by death. Whatever man achieves, however great, however powerful, death brings it all to an end. But with the Christian, we have eternal life. We're given a life we didn't have before, and it's in Christ. And it goes through into eternity. And we enjoy that life in the company of believers. It's a wonderful thing that we're given something we never had before. God's work in our souls is wonderful, it's precious, it's eternal. And God is speaking to you in Christ. He's only got one message. Message of grace, message of forgiveness, message of hope, message of peace. And it's for you, and it's in Christ, and it's available today. May not be tomorrow. We sometimes sing, there may be no tomorrow, shall dawn on you or me. Why will you risk the peril of lost eternity? How dreadful to pass into eternity, from where there's no coming back, but unsaved, lost, a lost eternity. Eternity outside of the love of God. Outside of the presence of Jesus, an eternity of anguish, of despair. Some people live in despair. How dreadful to spend eternity in despair. So, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to life. There's only one way into freedom and liberty. And that's through Jesus. There's only one way out of bondage, and that's the deliverance you can have from him today. I read to you from Galatians. Very similar thought, but it says very clearly, we were children, were held in bondage under the principles of the world. There we were. Held in bondage. I know it refers in its essence to Jews. But it is the fact that we're held in bondage to the world, the principles of the world. It, in other words, we didn't know Christ as Saviour and Lord. We didn't know what it was to be delivered. We only knew what it was, or the persons here were held in bondage. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, come of woman, come under law, he might redeem those under law. The Lord Jesus Christ came in this unique way, came in into manhood, and came to redeem his people. But not only Israel, his blood was shed so that all who turn to him might come under the shelter of it, may come into blessing, may come to know forgiveness of sins and peace with God. That's why Jesus died. So, fullness of time was come. What a blessed moment it was when the Lord Jesus came into this world. Unrecorded by men except by God. Unheralded by men except by John the Baptist. And born in a stable and laid in a manger. That's how my Saviour came into this world. God sent forth his Son. God, from his side, did everything. Isn't it wonderful? That's the glory of God in the gospel. Now, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. Sonship is a gift of God. Wonderful, isn't it? That God should bring you into his greatest thoughts and purposes of blessing, not as a forgiven sinner merely, that is true, but as a son, brought into all the liberty and the dignity and the joy of sonship. Now, I think that's most wonderful. Here I am, a hell-deserving sinner, and there is God in his grace giving me a free gift of sonship in Christ. Can you think of any greater contrast to where I am by nature and where God has placed me in Christ? And that can be yours today. You too can come into the enjoyment of what it is to be in the liberty and joy of sonship. God, but because ye are sons, he's writing to believers, God has sent out the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that there should be a response to God from my heart and yours. That's why we've been saved. Saved to serve God. Saved to love him. Saved to spend our lives doing his will. No longer in the bondage of our own will. No longer in the bondage of our own desires. No longer in the bondage of our own lusts. But in the bondage of his Son, bound by Jesus to him. That is the only true liberty we can possibly have as serving God, as serving him, as bound to him. Ties of love, not ties of demand, ties of love. God would have every one of us in this room, everyone in the world from that point of view, God's desire is towards all. And he'd have you come into the blessing that he offers you tonight. Very simple. The gospel isn't complicated. You don't need a degree to understand it. You just need to listen to what God is saying and turn in obedience to him. What more can I say of the grace of God? We who do not deserve mercy have been granted it. We've found mercy. We who deserve hell have been given heaven. We who have been following our own will, doing our own thing, and now brought under the control of God through his Son and through his blessed Spirit. We're given the Spirit of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're given every power, we're given every blessing, and the power to enjoy it. May it be yours today, for his name's sake.